Well, good morning, beloved. Beautiful summer day, believe it or not. Here it is in the middle of September, and we're still getting a beautiful summer day. The Lord is being good to us. We're going to ask our Deacon Sullivan if he will rouse us from our sleep with a prayer.
Father God, we thank you and praise you and all your glory and for allowing us to gather and worship you and giving us a return of some summer to help us finish up our tasks before it gets too cold. Again, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. And because of that prayer, yes, prayer, brother, prayer and prayer, we will sing Psalm 75:1. We give thanks to thee, O Lord, we give thanks. We give thanks to thee, O Lord, we give thanks. For thy name is near, thy wondrous works men delay. We give thanks to thee, O Lord, we give thanks. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, with my mouth shall I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Sing it again. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Come into his presence with thanksgiving in our hearts and give him praise, and give him praise. Come into his presence with thanksgiving in our hearts and give him praise. Give him praise, give glory and honor and power to his name. Jesus, the name above all names. Jesus, the name above all names. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God our Maker. Come, worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand, and the sheep of his hand. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. For God is great and greatly to be praised. God is great and greatly to be praised. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. For our God is great and greatly to be praised. Our God is great and greatly to be praised. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad that our God reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad. Our God reigns. A fire goes before him and burns up all his enemies. The hills melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord. The Lord reigns. Yes, he does. The Lord reigns. He always will. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad that our God reigns. The heavens declare his righteousness. The people see his glory. For you, O Lord, are exalted over all the earth. Over all the earth. Come on now. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns now and forevermore. Our God reigns. And who is our God? The God of the Bible. He is our God. Is the only true God. Well, on this September 22nd, 2019, in my quips and quotes for today, foreign influence is truly the Grecian horse to a republic. We cannot be too careful to exclude its influence. Alexander Hamilton, 1793. Good morning. You must look closely at today's wording to see how it applies. Firstly, yes, it is from the Old Testament written to the Jews. However, does it apply today? And can it? And we'll be looking at later, Jeremiah chapter 4, the entire chapter, particularly around the 21st and 22nd verse. And I say yes, and further look at whom it is written. For my people. And who are my people? That's us. Are there Christians among us that do not know God? I say certainly, and unfortunately. This shed a whole new light on this for me. We like to discount them, but since they bear his name, I believe we have a responsibility to let them know. The Spirit of the Lord causes our hearts to know the liberty in God's law. The veil that covered the face of Moses is removed, and we discover the liberty that can only be found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this liberty is not to sin. It is godliness with contentment. Paul writes in the verses leading up to our verse, "For if the ministration of the condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory." The evil was not in bread and circuses, per se. but in the willingness of people to sell their rights as free men for full bellies and excitement of games, which would serve to distract them from the other human hungers which bread and circuses can never appease. And of course, that sounds like something for today, but it actually was written by Marcus Tullius Cicero in Old Rome. A constitution is the civil form of a biblical covenant. A godly constitution will reflect godly covenants with men. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. For all the people in earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. That comes from Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6. And of course, I shared that on Monday when we spoke at the Christian school in South Berwick. I called it Mayflower Day, and talking about compacts, constitutions, contracts, and so forth, all that have the same root name. Government, in my humble opinion, should be formed to secure and to enlarge the exercise of the natural rights of its members. And every government which has not this in view as its principal object is not a government of the legitimate kind. James Wilson, 1791, signer of the Declaration of American Independence, and a judge and a lawyer himself. And so that's interesting, that there are governments that are not the legitimate kind of government. Think about that for a moment. The wise Christian doesn't feel the need to multiply words. He states the truth, knowing that talking about it isn't going to end it. Daniel Patrick Monaghan, that's a good Irish name, isn't it? The iconoclastic socialist turned senator from New York, once famously remarked, "Everyone is entitled to his own opinion, but not his own facts." Equally on point was this similar observation by my fellow Reagan administration patriot, Bill Bennett. "We all have a right to our opinion, but that doesn't make all opinions right." In 1765, the birth of Oliver Holden, early Puritan pastor and statesman. His love for music is demonstrated in the hymn tune, Coronation, which we all know as All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, which he composed in 1792 at the age of 27. Silence is consent. Consent with evil is cowardly and treasonous to Christ. America is paying a heavy price. The American pastorate traded their black robes for yellow ones. Silence isn't golden. Silence is yellow. Silence is sin. Well, it comes down to this. There are only two sides, good and evil. Every day it becomes more clear which force is good and which is evil. And of course, we have also read that by John Marshall, 1819, an unlimited power to tax involves necessarily a power to destroy, because there is a limit beyond which no institution, no property can bear taxation. Somebody ought to tell them this in Washington and all the state houses, that John Marshall said that in 1819. He was Chief Justice, the first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, and a great hero in the American Revolution. The U.S. Constitution doesn't guarantee happiness. Only the pursuit of it. You have to catch up with it yourself. That by Benjamin Franklin. Democracy is not a spectator sport. Wrong again. 50 years of failed eco-apocalyptic predictions. That's a good word, huh? Eco-apocalyptic predictions. On the night of September 20th, 1921, Sarah Kirkpatrick awakened and noticed that the light in her husband's study was on. She called him and he did not answer. Going over, she found 83-year-old William J. Kirkpatrick slumped over dead. As usual, he had been working on a piece of music. Born in Duncannon, Pennsylvania, in 1838, William learned to play musical instruments at an early age and received formal training. He published his first hymn collection at age 21, but although he issued around 50 books of music in his life, he often found it necessary to support himself with carpentry or furniture making, although he devoted every spare moment to music, playing for churches and writing hymns. Even his service with the Union armies in the Civil War was a musician, a fife major to the 91st Regiment PV. Not until after the death of his first wife in 1878 was he able to devote himself full-time to his great love. William wrote the tunes to many favorite hymns. We have heard the joyful sound, "'Tis sweet to trust in Jesus, redeemed how I love to proclaim it, and he hideth my soul." And folks, those were all very special songs to me over the years. I've sung them all many times. He wrote both the words and the music to the song, "Lord, I'm Coming Home." The story birthed behind it shows him as a soul winner. William was song leader at a camp meeting. The hired socialist, no, I meant to say soloist, had a magnificent voice, able to put tremendous expression into music he sang. However, William noticed that the young man never stayed to hear the sermon. After that, the soloist was not a Christian. Afraid that the soloist was not a Christian, William knelt in his tent and prayed long and earnestly for his soul. The words to "Coming Home" formed in his mind. He wrote them down and set them to a haunting tune. "I've wandered far away from home, now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod, Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home, never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love, Lord, I'm coming home." That evening, William handed the newly written words and tune to the soloist. Visibly moved after he had sung them, the man stayed for the sermon, went to the altar that night, and gave his heart to Christ. The song became a popular invitation hymn in evangelical services, winning many others beside the man it was written for. And I close my quips and quotes for today with this: love without truth is not love. Love without truth is not love. Okay, folks, turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 4 in the Old Covenant or the Old Testament. When I called out a passage of scripture from the Old Testament at the Christian school, I said, "Can anyone tell me where in the Bible this is?" And one young man said, "In the Old Testament." I said, "That's right, the Old Testament or the Old Covenant." So turn with me in the Old Testament or the Old Covenant, if you will. And don't be dissuaded by believing that because it's the Old Testament and the Old Covenant isn't worth looking at in modern times. And turn to Jeremiah chapter 4, verse, we're going to read the whole chapter actually, which is 31 verses. So the way we'll work this is each one will read 7 verses, and I will read the last verses. We'll start with Mrs. Lear and our readers and go around clockwise. So Mrs. Lear, Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 1 through 7 for you.
Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 1 through 7 from the English Standard Version. "If you return, O Israel, declares the Lord, to me, you should return. If you remove your detestable things from my presence and do not waver, and if you swear, as the Lord lives, in truth, in justice, and in righteousness, then nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, Break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Remove the foreskin of your hearts, O men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my wrath go forth like fire and burn with none to quench it because of the evil of your deeds. Declare in Judah and proclaim in Jerusalem and say, blow the trumpet through the land, cry aloud, and say, assemble, and let us go into the fortified cities. Raise a standard towards Zion. Flee for safety, stay not. For I bring disaster from the north and great destruction. A lion has gone up from his thicket. A destroyer of nations has set out. He has gone out from his place to make your land a waste. Your cities will be ruins without inhabitants. That was Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 1 through 7 from the English Standard Version.
Continuing from the English Standard Version, verses 8 through 14. For this put on sackcloth, lament and wail, for the fierce anger of the Lord has not turned back from us. In that day, declares the Lord, courage shall fail both king and officials. The priests shall be appalled and the prophets astounded. Then I said, ah, Lord God, surely you have utterly deceived this people in Jerusalem, saying, it shall be well with you, whereas the sword has reached their very life. At that time it will be said to this people and to Jerusalem, a hot wind from the bare heights in the desert toward the daughter of my people, not to winnow or cleanse. A wind too full for this comes for me. Now it is I who speak in judgment upon them. Behold, he comes up like clouds, his chariots like the whirlwind. His horses are swifter than eagles. Woe to us, for we are ruined. O Jerusalem, wash your heart from evil, that you may be saved. How long shall your wicked thoughts lodge within you? And that was Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 8 through 14.
I'm reading from the English Standard Version, Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 18 to 21. The voice declares from Dan and proclaims trouble from Mount Ephraim. Warn the nations that he is coming. Announce to Jerusalem, besiegers come from a distant land. They shout against the city of Judah. Like keepers of a field, are they against her all around? Because she has rebelled against me, declares the Lord. Your ways and your deeds have brought this upon you. This is your own doom, and it is bitter. It has reached your very heart. My anguish, I writhe in pain over the walls of my heart. My heart is beating wildly. I cannot keep silent, for I hear the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Crash follows hard on crash. The whole land is laid waste. Suddenly my tents are laid waste, my curtains in a moment. How long must they see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? I read from the English Standard Version, Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 15 to 21.
And I'm reading from the English Standard Version also, Jeremiah chapter 4, beginning at verse 22. For my people are foolish. They know me not. They are stupid children. They have no understanding. They are wise in doing evil. But how to do good, they know not. I looked on the earth, and behold, it was without form and void. And to the heavens, and they had no light. I looked on the mountains, and behold, they were quaking. And all the hills moved to and fro. I looked, and behold, there was no man. And all the birds of the air had fled. I looked, and behold, the fruitful land was a desert. And all its cities were laid in ruins. Before the Lord, before his fierce anger. For thus says the Lord, the whole land shall be a desolation. Yet I will not make a full end. For this the earth shall mourn, and the heavens above be dark. For I have spoken, I have purposed, I have not relented, nor will I turn back. At the noise of horseman and archer, every city takes to flight. They enter thickets, they climb among rocks, all the cities are forsaken, and no man dwells in them. And you, O desolate one, what do you mean that you dress in scarlet, that you adorn yourself with ornaments of gold, that you enlarge your eyes with paint? In vain you beautify yourself, you lovers despise you, they seek your life. For I heard a cry as of a woman in labor, anguish as of one giving birth to her first child, the cry of the daughter of Zion gasping for breath, stretching out her hands. Woe is me, I am fainting before murderers. Praise God for the reading of his word. That was from Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 22 through 31 in the English Standard Version. Well, needless to say, if you try to conceive in your mind's eye, if you will, make it a movie. Ask the Holy Spirit to actually make a movie out of this for you in your head. It would be a pretty astounding movie, particularly because it would show tremendous devastation and destruction. And of course, there are a number of movies out there that have, whether it was by fire or by flood or by one cataclysmic event or another, or asteroids hitting the U.S. or whatever, the world, hitting the Earth, that many of these things could happen. And of course, as we look at what's going on in America today, it does not make me happy at all to think that so much that is mentioned in this chapter is going on in our country. But I want to use as our theme today a code to live by. A code to live by. Now, you know that all computer aspects are coded. There's all kind of codes. And of course, during wars, you've got people that develop code books and using code. And then you have people deciphering code. And actually, I've known many people like that. My aunt actually was a cipher, deciphering code in the Second World War. She was a Navy WAC or whatever. And other people I know that are doing that even now, they can decipher code. And so the idea is, when we're looking at a code to live by. Now, where are we going to get the code to live by? Well, the simple question obviously is answered by this simple answer. The question is, where do we get a code to live by? We get it from the Bible. We get it from God's Word. That's the simple answer. And of course, we find in chapter 4 of Jeremiah, verse 2, "And if you swear, as the Lord lives, in truth, for justice, and in righteousness, then nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall be their glory." As I tell people, and I told the students there that I spoke to this week, there has been a time in America when we actually did look to the glory of the Lord. Now, did we have corruption? Yes. There's always been corruption because, let's say, sin has not totally been purged in everyone and from the earth at all. But for the most part, America looked towards pleasing God and using the Bible, as I can certainly prove, as a code book, as a textbook and whatever, and the code to live by. And it's hard to imagine when we see politicians, and not just politicians, people in the pulpit as well, many preachers, many well-known preachers, people leading Christian colleges that are going obviously not by the code of the Lord to live by. They're going by the code of the world and mammon to live by, and bringing trouble upon themselves and everyone with them. And of course, it's interesting in the last part of the chapter when it talks about how people have adorned themselves with gold and painted their faces and all these kind of things. And we see this a lot of times with people. You think it's just because, you know, it's like if you go to buy a car that's been freshly painted, make sure that there's not a whole lot of rust they painted over and stuff like that. So many times the outward adornment is just to cover up what's inside. If you look at verse 9, for example, in that day, declares the Lord, courage shall fail both king and officials. Mm-hmm. Now that day is upon us in many ways, not probably as fully as it will become, where these corrupt people, their hearts will fail them. They'll be frightened to death, so to speak. And of course, and you read back in verse 7, a lion has gone up from his thicket. A destroyer of nations has set out. He has gone out from his place. And of course, we see this throughout the world, that many nations of the world are being destroyed by corruption from within. And of course, as many of our founding fathers said, they were more concerned about corruption within than they were corruption without, because it does not take a foreign army to destroy a country if a country is being destroyed from within. So there's much in this chapter of Scripture that so much reminds us a code to live by. And of course, when we're thinking Godward instead of inward. We're thinking Godward instead of manward, meaning direction. So what direction are we getting a code to live by from? By thinking Godward. Okay, and I use the terminology very frequently with a lot of people trying to explain it in short term. Think redemptively. What is it the Lord wants to do? He wants to redeem his creation. He wants us to be an instrument of the redemption of his creation. And so when we have a code to live by that comes from the Bible and we're thinking Godward, then what's happening is we're participating with God's plan of redemption instead of thinking inwardly. And of course, that's the whole idea of yoga and many Eastern mysticism. Think inside yourself and so forth. No. Or the code that a lot of people live by is for me, myself, and I. You know, whatever's good for me must be good. No, there's a lot of things that we think are good for ourselves, but the Lord says, no, it's not good for you, and you should stay away from it. The anguish over Judah's desolation. My anguish, I writhe in pain. Oh, the walls of my heart is beating wildly. I cannot keep silent, for I hear the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Crash follows hard on crash. The whole land is laid waste. Suddenly my tents are laid waste, my curtains in a moment. How long must I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? So folks, are we listening to what's actually the time that we live in? You know, a lot of people, they're listening to the news, they're watching it on TV, they're hearing it on the radio, but they're not really hearing what's being said, even in the news, even the secular faux news that you can't trust in a lot of things. But can you hear what is actually going on, what the Lord is doing? For my people are foolish, they know me not. And I would hate to have that indictment against me. And of course, here we have, they are stupid children. Of course, the S word, stupid, you're not supposed to call anyone stupid, but here in a translation of Scripture, an accurate translation of Scripture, God is calling children stupid. And people are foolish. Why? Because they know me not. And of course, a lot of people might claim, gee, I'm a Christian, but do you know Jesus? Do you have a code you live by? And what is it? Is it a Godward code, an inward code, a manward code? What kind of a code is it? They have no understanding. They are wise and doing evil. Whew, that's scary. Is it true that most people are more wise at doing evil than doing good? And I have to search my own heart and let the Holy Spirit search my heart with me. Am I better at doing evil than I am at doing good? And I hope the answer is I'm better at doing good than evil. Now, some people might say, you don't know who you're messing with. You don't know the evil that's going to come on you if you mess with me. We've all heard this. We could say back to them, well, you don't know what's going to come upon you if you mess with me, because I'm not evil. I'm good in Christ. I have a code I live by, and it's not the code of getting back at you, and that's why the doctor that injured me, it was a great blessing to me, and I felt a great lift by being able to say to him, though people think I should be angry and mad at you and hunt you down and do all these things to you, which I'm capable of doing, instead, I want to do good to you. I want to forgive you. I want to bless you. And maybe because of that blessing, he won't be afraid and angry. He'll actually go to the Lord, and maybe he will make sure that he does better for other people than he did for me. And so thinking Godward, a code to live by. We don't want to be stupid children. We don't want to be wise in doing evil. But how to do good, they know not. And what an indictment God making. Now, if you go before a judge, half the time you're going to get a judge who's probably involved in some issues of things that you don't want to be in front of them. You can't trust them. But remember, if you're standing before God's throne of judgment, you can trust that judge. And he said, I looked on the earth, and behold, it was without form and void, and to the heavens, and they had no light. I looked on the mountains, and behold, they were quaking, and all the hills moved to and fro. I looked, and all the birds of the air had fled. I looked, and behold, the fruitful land was a desert, and all its cities were laid in ruins before the Lord, before his fierce anger. The Lord gets angry at unrighteousness and sinfulness, and all we have to do is remind people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Yes, the Lord was angry with Sodom and Gomorrah, and he destroyed it, even unto this day. A code to live by, thinking Godwardly. And of course, as the chapter closes out, for I heard a cry as a woman in labor, anguish as one giving birth to her first child, the cry of the daughter of Zion, gasping for breath, stretching out her hands, woe is me, I am fainting before murderers. Think about that. Of this abortionist that just recently died, had thousands of baby bodies in his home. I mean, that was something out of a horror movie, something out of Nazi Germany. And you can imagine as that guy was leaving this earth, what he was facing, or what he will be facing at the throne of grace and God's judgment seat. Now, just as we close, turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to look at a few verses there to help us to focus and remember a code to live by and thinking Godwardly. 1 Timothy chapter 1 at verse 12. I thank him who has given me strength. Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. There, and though formerly I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Folks, I often said that that was only true until I was born. And then after I was born, I became the chief of sinners. And I was really good at sinning. And I look back on my life, and I'm sorry to say I was very, very good at sinning. And not so good at doing good. I was good at doing evil, but not so good. I wasn't thinking godly. I didn't have a code to live by. And so now I do, and I'm a different person because of the grace of God. And so when you're thinking about your own life, as I hope you will, I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. And I hope and pray that's what's happening to you folks and people everywhere, people listening to this message by the internet or wherever they are. Let's pray. God our Father, you could easily just bring judgment down on us if you were unforgiving. But you're the perfect example of forgiveness and providing us the way of forgiveness and the way of faith. Showing us a code to live by. A code to live by whether we're in America, whether we're on the moon, whether we're in a foreign country. It doesn't make any difference. It's still the same code to live by. And showing us that we all, even though we live here, we should be looking Godward. Because you are the one that controls us. Not that the government controls everything, though many people in government think they do. You're the one that controls everything, and yes, you do have an anger for unrighteousness, and you have said we're like stupid children. Nobody wants to have stupid children. You don't want stupid children. I don't want stupid children, and I don't want to be a stupid child. So thank you, Lord, by your grace, Holy Spirit. You have changed my ways, and you changed the ways of all those who come to you in faith and come to you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory to God.